This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. If you want to visit the Vatican Museum to see the Sistine Chapel or the Metropolitan Museum of Art to see Van Gogh's self-portrait with a straw hat, be prepared to wait in line for hours. If you'd like to see the work of artist Jason DeCaris Taylor, be prepared to wear scuba gear. In 2006, DeCaris founded and created the world's first submerged sculpture park off the coast of Grenada. And his latest creation, Musa, is a collection of over 500 underwater sculptures off the coast of Cancun. But his works are as much for sea life as they are for art lovers. In fact, they were designed to promote coral growth. His work is compiled in a new book, The Underwater Museum, and I'm pleased it brings him to Word of Mouth. Jason DeCaris Taylor, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice to join you.
Now, most of us will not see your sculpture, so let's start with your latest collection off the coast of Cancun. How many sculptures, what size, and how deeply are they submerged?
First of all, I think there's around 500. I just completed installing them around 4 months ago. And the idea is that it creates this sort of monumental artificial reef that encourages fish, encourages divers, and it's just a great place for tourists to visit.
So these are all human figures, or, you know, figures that look like humans. How big are they?
Yes, they're all life size. So I actually cast living people in plaster and alginate. And then I use these casts to make a special marine cement sculpture that will then be installed.
How deeply are they submerged and how do they stay on the ocean floor?
They're all around 30 feet deep. We actually have two sites in Cancun, a very shallow water one for snorkelers and then a deeper water one for divers. The shallow one is around 9 feet, and then the one for divers is around 30 feet. But we also have glass-bottom boats that visit as well, so you don't actually have to get wet to see the pieces.
Well, I'm just asking, trying to paint a picture for the audience, that you're swimming along in this beautiful blue sea and you see 500 figures sort of lined up along the bottom of the sea floor. Does the museum get many visitors?
It gets a lot of visitors, yes. It's actually situated in the National Marine Park, and that gets around 800,000 people a year visiting it each year. And that's actually how the project was initiated. They were finding that this sort of immense pressure on the natural reef systems was causing a lot of problems. So they wanted to provide an alternative that would sort of discharge some of these people. And currently around 200,000 to 300,000 people go to this museum. But it's such a vast space that I don't think it's ever overcrowded.
Well, you are drawing more people to a fragile ecosystem, but at the same time, you're kind of creating an ecosystem. So tell us about this. These sculptures, they have to be ecologically sound. You mentioned you cast this. What medium do you work with?
I mainly work with cement, a special type of marine cement. And yes, all the sculptures are kind of tailor-made for marine life. So the textures of the sculptures are sort of rough so that corals can actually adhere to them. They're pH neutral so they don't cause any damage to the environment. And they're also drilled into the sea floor so that in any kind of hurricane or storm that they actually don't move and cause any damage.
Did you collaborate with scientists or conservationists when you were coming up with this project or even this process for Musa?
Yes, very much so. It's been sort of an immense amount of work, working with local biologists, working with artificial reef companies to try and find, you know, exactly the right sizes for the creatures to live in, the right sort of layout. Little things just by, you know, the museum is actually situated down current of the natural reef, and that allows the coral polyps after the spawning to actually drift down current and then attach themselves to the sculptures. So definitely, yeah, a lot of research goes into that part.
So I'm looking at one of your pieces from the book, beautiful full-color photographs in the book, but a lot of them in black and white, which gives a completely different effect. The one I'm looking at is called Holy Man. Now, this is situated 4 meters below the surface. It's got all of these holes dug into it. Tell us about the creative process there. What were you doing?
That's quite an interesting piece because it actually uses live coral that's been propagated underwater. So what happens is there's a coral nursery in Cancun that is actually growing small fragments of coral. And we take fragments from that nursery and then divide them, split them up a bit like you take cuttings from a plant. And then we actually install them, glue them onto the sculpture surface in those holes. And the idea is that over time, that these sort of branches, they're called staghorn coral because they look like the horns of a stag. They're actually sort of all sort of nest together and become a complete colony of coral.
How much do you keep these kind of habitats in mind when you're creating a piece?
A lot.
Is this the guide? Yeah. I mean, is this what you're trying to do altogether?
Yes, very much so. You know, a lot of it is sort of looking at, you know, the natural reefs, what's growing, what's, you know, what's established, and then taking those and what's endangered. One particular in sculpture actually uses Gorgonian fan coral. And we are finding that a lot of the tropical storms were dislodging these fan corals and they were dying on the reef. It's a completely natural process. But we then took those fragments and repopulated them into these wings of these figures and allowed them to grow. And it's worked quite well. They've rescued them and they're now living.
We're speaking with the artist Jason DeCaris Taylor. He's got a new book out called The Underwater Museum. He creates works of art that are submerged under the sea and then become coral reefs, habitats, places for plant life, animal life to gather underwater. Early on, you were a graffiti artist as well. Do you see any kind of parallels between your current work and that street art?
A little bit. It sounds, quite different on principle, but there are some similarities. I mean, when I was young, I would be the one that was sort of painting walls and randomly changing things. But obviously, when they're underwater, I'm actually the person that's just sort of putting down the white wall, and it's the sort of it's up to nature and the marine organisms actually do the sort of colonizing or defacing or organic changing.
Yeah, I guess you're giving them over to the elements on some level.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I'm one of the sort of lucky sculptors in some way that I actually don't have to do any finishing on my sculptures, you know. It's just left to its own devices.
Well as serving a purpose of creating a home for life underwater, we also see this series called Bankers, for example. We see a sculpture of a man in a suit burying his head in the sand, particularly effective because it is in the sand at the seafloor. A very overweight man staring at a television while surrounded by this universe of wonder. Is there something more that you're saying than I just want to provide beautiful marine life?
Yes. In a lot of the works, they're all about sort of humans living in a kind of symbiosis with nature, kind of portraying how we're sort of divorcing ourselves from nature and how we're detaching ourselves from our surroundings and in particular the sea. You know, the sea is obviously underwater, is not in everybody's lives all the time, and it's quite easily forgotten. With statistics so frighteningly bad about coral reefs, and you know, the Caribbean, for example, I think has lost already 80% of its natural coral reefs. And that's a very frightening statistic. And I think it's really important that, you know, more people are engaged with their oceans and finding out what's actually happening.
Jason DeCaris Taylor, thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Jason DeCaris Taylor, an artist, an underwater naturalist, and a photographer. His submerged sculptures have been compiled in a stunning new book called The Underwater Museum. And if you don't have scuba gear, fear not. You can see photos of Jason's underwater works on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And now we'll glide up to the surface. When Word of Mouth continues, we join a group of English fishermen who recently landed a $1.6 million contract, not for the day's catch, but for singing sea shanties.
Oh, yeah. I want to go home.
We'll hit it when Word of Mouth continues after the break.
So hoist up the jumbies.